This is Chris Hansen.
Chad doing Rip City Radio here.
This is Jamie Hudson.
This is TJ Houshmandzadeh.
And I'm going to let you all know something.
You're listening to
It Just Makes Sense.
It Just Makes Sense.
We are sports. We are nostalgia. We are pop culture. And we're funny sometimes.
I think overall we're just a good time.
They thought we couldn't do it. But guess what?
We're back.
Podcasts are free and we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We never knew what we were doing in the first place.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Alan is not doing well.
You're
this
both
year.
Fucking fraud supporting frauds, is what you are.
No.
You are the king of cherry picking. You have to admit that you're the opposite Homer.
I don't have to admit anything.
To be able to take that team down and show that, like, hey, I'm the guy, I can make this happen, and I'm here to win. Like, I think that brings a new energy to that city, to that
back.
Team.
Oh, yes.
And let's welcome an icon now, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If you are not getting over on somebody, the world is getting over on you.
And who are we
speaking of losing?
To call people out on losing bets, okay? We suck at betting.
And remember, don't be afraid to fade yourself.
Basketball.
That's not how it goes.
Can you tell me how it goes?
Basketball, gimme the ball, cause I'm gonna dunk it!
I stand corrected.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
Is that actually a song? Or like, did you create that out of the ether?
You've never seen this?
No, I haven't.
Don't start it tonight. Show them later.
Okay. I mean,
yeah, there's different layers to this, Peter. How have you not seen this? As an SNL guy.
Who is it?
Tim Robinson, get basketball song.
Tim Robinson.
All right, fire away. All right, ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
All right, 2, 3, 4.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Basketball, give me. Woo! All right, now that's how you do it.
I think low-key, one of the funniest parts of this is it actually started as a poem.
Well, welcome to It Just Makes Sense. Hi,
that's
boys.
Our opening.
Yeah. I think the opening should be that song.
I'm gonna dunk it!
Well, sorry.
I didn't know that Tim Robinson's been around for that long.
Yeah,
they kicked him out of SNL, right?
Yeah, he started on SNL, and he was like writing and doing skits, but all the skits that he would write, they were like, oh, this is like a little extreme. We don't know if we want to do this.
And so he was a little too much for him.
Too rated.
I mean,
R
you've
for
seen,
him.
I think you should leave, right?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. But so he was like, fuck them. I'm going to do my own thing.
Have you guys seen? So there's the whole like NBA culture. What is it? The city editions or whatever, and they're doing all like the different,
yeah, in season tournament.
Have you seen how the Heat have like this big old saying in their paint? It's talking about how good their culture is, how good the heat culture.
Their jerseys had Heat culture last night,
right? Well, someone like replaced this like poem or this diatribe of how awesome the Heat culture is with the 55 hamburgers. They just I really enjoyed that, very much enjoyed that.
As cheesy as some of the jerseys, the city editions, and the courts that have been like in your face, like the Blazers court was very much like Christmas themed. It was like plaid red night.
Right, they've got that.
The floor is fire engine red, and it's very in your face and like really aggressive. But for November NBA, these have been some of the most competitive NBA games. No one's sitting out. Everyone's playing hard for fucking November.
Well, Anthony Davis is getting hurt as usual. But yeah, besides that,
they've been fun to watch. They're close, they're competitive.
A second, to be honest.
They're trying.
it's funny because like half of the interviews are like, oh, like talk about the in-season tournament. They're like, I don't know what's going on.
But that's the
it's
thing.
A new court.
They don't have to know what's going on. They're just told like, hey, get to Vegas.
Yeah.
There's a trophy. There's a tournament in season, which naturally as a competitor just brings something out in you. Right. That's why Dame's playing hard. That's why LeBron's playing hard.
This one was interesting because, like, obviously it counts towards the general standings, then you get this in-season tournament thing. But they were also, you know, like, it, I think they each person gets like 500 grand or something like that. I don't remember who said it, but it was someone who was like not necessarily on a team that's definitely going to be in the playoffs, but they were like, the prize should be an automatic bid into the playoffs. And I thought that was kind of an interesting...
Well, the whole point of the in-season tournament is to prevent load management. So you tie that in with, you have to play 65 games to be eligible for any individual awards. And then you tie this in, you're going to get less boring regular season games with no superstars. That's really the whole point of it. I think awarding them a bid into the playoffs is a little much.
That's a little much.
Too much? Yeah. All right.
But I do think that they should have done this like 4 weeks from now.
It is weird because they like played like six or seven games and it was like tournament time.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be doing this for the next month.
Yeah. No, this should have been December.
Right. This is kind of how they should kick off their whole de facto NBA season, where everyone thinks that the NBA season starts on Christmas Day with all those games. So
that is the entire reason why
they're trying to get people's attention.
Because Christmas time, you have exciting NBA games. Leading up to the All-Star break and trade deadline, you have exciting games. The non-exciting games are October, November, and the beginning part of December. So that's why they did it now.
Excuse me, sorry.
Mr. Silver knows what the fuck he's doing, I think.
He's talking today about taking responsibility for how crappy the All-Star game has been. So if the tournament does go well, then maybe they can also find a way to fix the All-Star game and make that a little bit more
They're trying to get too cute with all kinds of shit. The two different ideas they're considering are old school shit that was exciting. Either everyone wears their own jerseys, and if you remember those, like, that was Allen Iverson, Kevin Garnett, that was a fun All-Star game, or go back to East-West, because right now it's pretty even.
Yeah.
The reason they stopped
doing
that...
Yeah, they're going back to East-West, I think, right?
Yeah, because the reason they stopped doing that is 90s NBA, the East dominated the West, and then the East tanked with LeBron being the only star, so they were doing West-East, and they were just getting killed, so they started doing, like, World versus America, and then all kinds of shit.
And then they have captains. And
East-West right now is pretty 50-50, so I feel like going back to that.
What I want them to bring back is, like, the other... I forget what they called it, but they used to have, like... Remember when Ken Griffey Jr. and, like, T.O.?
The dunk contest with NFL players.
Yes, with other sport players.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That was pretty fucking cool.
I still think, too, that they should invite amateurs in and do that, too. You know, like, what's his bucket?
Jordan
from?
Kilgannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kilgannon?
Kilgannon? Mac McClung?
Who's the guy from Oregon?
The professor.
The professor, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Come do a skills challenge or something cool. I think that would be pretty sweet. Find a way to qualify in a certain way. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, just get, like, normies.
Yeah.
Like, have like, a tour that where you can try out to get into, like, the all-star
absolutely
game, like,
yeah,
the celebrity all-star
because
game.
At a certain point, it's like, if they actually did qualify and do well and now they're up against these guys, like, you're damn right, like, these NBA players are going to start trying against you. They don't want to have to lose to you.
Yeah,
we solved it, Mr. Silver. Give us
give us a cool.
So, okay, so we all know that basketball is going to be an Olympic sport in the Summer Olympics, and also we've got flag football.
Hell right.
It's going to be, I think, in the LA Olympics. There was
28, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I was curious. I did see
lacrosse.
This Asian competition show, and I thought maybe this would be a very good submission for the Olympics. For those who are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this, but there are women, I guess two people on either side of a tube, and there looks to be some type of a roach or something like that, and they are going to be using the pressure of their blowholes in order to try and get that roach into another person's mouth. Let's see how that goes.
Those are big blows to cover the whole tube.
Oh, we're right into the back of her throat.
She swallowed it.
We're right into the back of her throat.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh!
It just sucked it down. And look at that. Look at all the reactions on these faces here. It's every single one is perfect.
Oh gosh!
Even the referee doesn't know how he got there.
I would be a wild card and just suck.
You would. All right, thanks. Protein.
Death growth.
I felt that well, as soon as I saw it, I felt that had to be
that's
part
what
of.
Makes you think of the Olympics.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shit from Japan that they do. Like they have a lot of crazy.
Yeah,
games.
Japanese game shows.
Japan is the king of game shows.
God, I love some of the stuff that comes out of it, where they're trying to like climb these stairs or this mountain, and it's just like lubed all soap up. Or yeah. all lubed up.
The classic.
Do you remember MXP?
Is so good.
Is MXP like tied to Takeshi's Castle? Takeshi's Castle is the original king of,
or MXC, Most Extreme Challenge, I think it was.
Oh yeah, Most Extreme Challenge was great.
Yeah, where they'd like, it was a Japanese game show that Americans would like dub their
they
voice
dubbed
over.
It over. Right.
That's Takeshi's Castle.
It was
okay.
It was like what Wipeout kind of became, right?
They
a little
Wipeout
bit?
took it from
they
that.
Took that concept.
The MXC or MXP. They were dubbing Takeshi's Castle because that was the original.
That was great
game show that
the
they had.
The dubbing was so bad, yeah. But
it was
so
very
good.
Funny. Yeah. Very funny. Some early 2000s shit.
Early 2000s. Couldn't skip through the commercials or anything.
No,
they had. They
also don't think you could get away with that today.
No, they had one game. They had one game where you had to eat your dinner on a sloped. floor. So you know how in Japan you sit crisscross applesauce on like this low table in one of those private rooms, but you enter the room and it's downhill. So you're trying to hold on to your partner and they have like soup and all kinds of shit on the table and everyone's just trying to climb. Like they got all kinds of shit that seems dangerous.
Yeah.
But I enjoy.
This is terrible podcast material, but there's people in all different colors of the rainbow trying to climb up these stairs and totally.
Essentially, there's six Power Rangers
trying to get
just
to the
all
top
guys?
Of this mountain that is just slippery, covered in.
Come.
Yeah, there he goes, and they take people out with them. So good.
That looks hard as fuck.
It does. Can you imagine like how your body and your muscles would feel the day after?
Not great.
Just so bad.
Not great.
We'll link it at official IJMS. So good. But you know what was also a baller show was American Gladiators back in the day.
Have you watched the documentary on Netflix? Gosh, there was some... shitty stuff going on.
Really? That doesn't
that
surprise me, really.
Yeah. A lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol.
But
a lot
like,
of fucking steroids.
Yeah, but like you could shoot people with tennis balls and then you could smack
Yeah,
because
they were all
around.
Coked the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't think that they were, you know, totally roided out. Like
a guy that looks like Kurt Angle just not blinking through the entire show. No surprise there.
Yeah. Good times. Should bring that back with the roids and all.
Don't they have new American Gladiators, like today's version?
I think they tried to bring it back, but it wasn't as received as well.
Bubba, bubba, bubba.
Well, I'll receive it well. You know what I thought was received well was the birthday party that we had this past weekend, boys.
It was.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you for your attendance.
Happy birthday.
The blind whiskey taste test in which you had to guess what the... It was bottles $20 to $150. You had to guess which one was which and which was your favorite, which one you thought was the bargain, which one you thought was most expensive. To no surprise, Miguel over here, his favorite was the cheapest one, and he guessed that that was the cheapest one. So when you say, when he says, like, if I was a billionaire, I would still drink $20 Evan Williams.
It's true. I would still smoke these.
He's not bullshitting.
There's not much in my life that would change. Except
he wasn't like, ooh, this $150 bottle.
No.
Those $150 ones, like,
they're sharper.
They're real sharp, and they're, like, super high proof, so you could really
tell. It's an acquired taste for an acquired wallet.
If I think about it, that my palate is like that across the board for everything. I don't have, like, a... It's like if you tell me something's expensive, or even if you don't, that I'm going to choose that, or naturally I'm going to gravitate towards that. Like cheese. I think the more expensive the cheese, the sharper, the more eccentric the flavor is. I prefer, like, nacho cheese out of a can.
And served in a souvenir
fucking
helmet.
Fucking spray it in my mouth.
Put it in a souvenir helmet.
Less than $5, I would choose that.
And he's good.
Yeah.
And he's fine.
I'm proud to not be a bougie person.
You'd rather go to,
I don't
like
bougie people.
You probably wouldn't go to, like, Nobu or something really
fancy. I mean,
fancy.
I would love to try it for the experience.
Sure. But, like, you would maybe...
But Sushi Belt?
Yeah.
Every fucking time.
Yeah,
where you would be bougie, I think, is, like, in experiences.
Yeah.
Not... Like
not material stuff or not food. Yes. Like, you know, like part of the experience would be like experiencing the food where I go.
Yeah.
But nothing that you would walk into my house and be like, oh, he's rich because he has this. Like, no, I'd have the same shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He's a raccoon. He's a little trash panda. Mm. Just like hoovers it all.
More of a Savannah banana.
Okay. Mr. Sidebar, I saw it last night on Monday Night Football that Arnold Schwarzenegger had his donkey with him during the broadcast.
Yeah, if you just look at Peyton Manning's face the entire time, that's what makes it funny.
I didn't see that. What?
Some of the sounds that Arnold was making with his donkey were
very... Why does he have a donkey?
I don't know.
He was feeding the donkey, and Eli Manning was introducing him. Peyton, the entire time, was just taken aback that there's a fucking donkey on the show. Didn't say a goddamn word. He was just like...
Is that like some Austrian shit?
It wasn't introduced or anything. It's just like very much in the shot.
Let's look at Peyton's face the whole time.
More. Oh, what is that? That donkey looks like you eating, Peyton. The same thing. All right. We're going to break. We're going to break, Pay. We'll be back.
His face.
There was like a couple of like really awkward sounds. I wonder if it's on this feed, but he was going, oh, yeah. Yeah,
the
eat it.
What the fuck is there a donkey in your house for?
Oh, yeah, eat it. Eat this cheese.
All right, welcome back.
Oh, yes.
And let's welcome an
it's
icon
so weird.
Right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold, all right, welcome back.
Oh, yes.
And let's welcome an icon right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Peyton Manning is...
Oh, yes.
Peyton's like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
Arnold.
Yeah. Sidebar, I would love to own a raccoon. I know you wouldn't want to own a raccoon. Like, I know that, like, we have decided that dogs and cats are a thing, but I would love to domesticate a raccoon.
You can.
Raccoons are fucking disgusting.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
They're ugly and they're gross.
What? I think I've talked about this on this podcast before,
probably.
But in high school, I had a friend whose mom had a pet skunk.
That's disgusting.
And, like,
skunk's too much.
They had, like, I don't know how, but like disabled the glands.
Yeah.
I think having rodents as pets stops at guinea pig and hamsters.
Mm. You wouldn't want a squirrel?
No. Anything beyond that is fucking gross.
Mm. Would you have a monkey?
Monkeys aren't rodents.
I know.
Separate
question.
Yeah, because monkey is...
What about that possum they took off the field the other day? Do you see him just getting dragged out? Possums are disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are raccoons.
No, they're not. They're adorable.
They are cute.
They're cute.
Not.
Whatever.
They are cute.
You're in the minority here, Juan. Just deal with it.
Always been.
You're in the minority.
That's kind of rude, Peter. We get it. He's a minority.
Oh, right. Right. Mm. I didn't call him a minority.
Yeah, whatever.
You did.
Okay, sure.
Salem.
Salem.
But yes, the birthday was great. I had a lot of fun. We had catered food. Lots of
it was a very well done party. Shout out to Lindsay.
Shout out Lindsay for sure.
It was very well done, very well organized. You could tell a lot of effort and investment was put into it.
When Lindsay put something together, it is in detail.
There was a slideshow.
There was a fucking slideshow.
It was a slideshow. Yeah, that's true. And then she slid this into, which was...
And it wasn't even a slideshow. It was a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. Welcome.
It wasn't like it was photos just flashing up on the screen.
She had pre-tasting acknowledgments. Yes. She had all of
it. It was pretty good. It was very good.
Yeah, very tasteful.
It was very fun.
It was, you know, like... when you think about, like, they all kind of blended together and some were more harsh than others or whatever. But, yeah, like, I liked the Knob Creek, and that was great.
Yeah, I love the Knob Creek.
I'm glad that my taste was $150 bottle.
I've been just having a little bit of Knob Creek on ice tonight.
Yeah. So, one thing that was also included in the party, as we were trying to decide what to do next, Lindsay was recommended a certain show by one of her coworkers. And mind you, Lindsay is a speech therapist. She, you know, is working with a bunch of
children,
people with master's degrees and all this other stuff. She had stumbled upon, out of the recommendation of her coworker, this show called Naked Attraction. And it was a show that none of us had heard of before and that we wanted to bring to you guys as well. So this doesn't show anything, but for our YouTube viewers who can check it out, this is what... I'm just going to play it.
In this dating show, we go back to basics.
Are you ready?
Bring it on.
And start where a good date often ends. Naked.
Silhouette look?
Have you ever been faced with six? No, but I feel like I should have done.
What do men and women really find physically attractive?
Wow. This is fantastic.
And could picking a partner based solely on their natural beauty...
Could be a grower.
...help us find the one?
I've never met anybody like this before and I don't know where to look.
Let's find out by dating in reverse.
Who are you going to pick for your date?
This is the hardest decision of my life. Oh my God.
Naked Attraction.
Let's be clear. They were fully nude.
They were fully naked.
This isn't some sort of a show where it was blurred. Yeah. We saw about 16 pounds of foreskin.
Yeah, there were like...
Yeah, so much foreskin.
For people who have not seen it, the show starts where you have five people behind this pane glass that is, you know, whatever, frosted glass. And then they lift up, like... progressively to reveal more and more of this person's body. So one
starts with the genitalia.
Starts with the waist down, then you get to the neck down, and then you see the face, and then they judge the person's voice. There is absolutely like, you're not basing any of this on a person's personality or anything like that. And it is just purely, what do I like in a human body?
It's PNV.
It is PNV.
It's all PNV.
So then they go and they get closer and they go, what do you think of that labia? And it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's very straightforward.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I liked that very hooded person.
There was so much foreskin.
Yeah. And like, it's not one of those like reactions where like people are like, you're seeing them react to it. No, it is like zoomed in, super close.
Yeah. On cock. Yeah.
And it's a British show, right?
Yeah.
So
isn't it?
British guys are just not, like, they're not circumcised.
Right,
it's not a
yeah.
big
Most
thing
of
there.
The time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, quite the show. Naked Attraction, for those who have
not seen it. It goes back to a lot what a lot of people don't want to accept, but it's absolutely a double standard. You know, it's like, you look at all the Vs, and you're like, there's not a bad-looking vagina. No one wants to look at dicks.
Right.
Dicks are gross.
It's not just guys, but like, there's a lot of girls. I'm like, dicks aren't. Dicks are disgusting.
There's very few penises that are like.
Attractive.
That's a nice cock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it's a weird looking thing.
In the first episode that we saw before we showed it to you guys, one of the guys had like an elephant around with the trunk being his dick.
Like a tattoo?
Yeah, it was a tattoo. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't an actual elephant.
A tattoo. Yeah. An elephant tattoo. Excuse me. Did he have an elephant-type
Did he have a big
penis.
Dick?
No.
Well, that's a waste.
Yeah. It's like, it's not an arousing show, so it's not like softcore porn. It is just
More scientific.
Yeah, and they, you know what I appreciated was like little bits of actual like intel about. Yeah. So, anyways,
or you also see people who can't tell fake boobs from real.
Yeah, are those real? It's like, dude, you can see the scar marks under there.
The best part is you started off with like the guys showing their dicks, and you're like, man, dicks are gross. And then the girls lined up, and you're like, all right, I can look at this. And then they show, and then the guy's like, I have a foot fetish, so they show the feet.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
that gosh. One girl who had some bacteria infected nasty toes, I'm like, oh, my God, that's disgusting.
Just ruined it for you. So, yeah, if there's any kind of type of a boner killer for you, that's it.
Yeah.
But intriguing. And the thing is, I honestly thought, no joke, so you actually went to the bathroom. I didn't know where you went. And I thought that you just, like, left. You seemed at first pretty, like, apprehensive or reluctant to the show. And so I was like, did Braxton just leave? But you actually went upstairs to the bathroom. And then you came back down and you loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I just thought it was interesting. I liked it. But I am very well known as, like, I don't like strip clubs. I don't like that shit. Like, it's called, you know, private parts for a reason. And
suck up.
Yeah.
But I will agree with the fact that it was a very interesting show, and I would watch it again.
So if anyone's wondering why Miguel is wearing a hood tonight, it is in solidarity. Solidarity
all
with all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
haven't gotten
talk
a haircut.
Without having my voice crack.
It's hecka poofy.
I know. Your hair's really long.
Yeah, I'm getting a haircut on Sunday. Don't worry.
Sunday. Little basketball. Right, still don't know how it goes.
This is how most of the dicks look, though.
Yeah, little. You got to give that hang from the front.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. Some of them looked like those, some of them looked like those, like tube worms that you see on National Geographic.
Yes. Yeah. Something like. Or a weird thing that you would see in the depths of the sea.
Yeah, exactly.
Something crazy.
That's a
like
tube
that.
Worm.
Oh, okay, there you go. Before we get into sports, I did have a hypothetical for you guys that I wanted to bring up.
Good morning, friends. You all loved my hypothetical question about 12-year-olds. And I'm realizing there's a better way to phrase that, but I'm not going to. I have another one that I am obsessed with asking coworkers, and I believe there are no wrong answers, but there are right answers to this question. If you could have any five liquids dispensed out of your five fingers at any time, what liquids would you have? Me personally, on tap at the one and the two seed, we're going water and gasoline, baby. The reason I said there are no wrong answers, but there are right answers, is because I fully believe that water and gasoline are the primary two, and then you got 3, 4, and 5 to do whatever you want with. At my 3 seed, I'm going Kikkoman Shoyu. I use soy sauce every single day with everything I eat. It's going to my 3. At my 4 seed, call me crazy, I like to start my day with a little cup of juice. I'm going like a Hawaiian Sun, guava juice, a lilikoi juice, something floral, something fruity to start the day off. At number 5, I understand this one's really obscure, but I love the vanilla bean dry sodas, but they're like $8 for a 4-pack. What the fuck, Joe Biden?
Okay, so we've done this,
but I don't think on the podcast.
Okay,
finger thing.
Yeah,
oh,
we definitely
five have. Fingers.
Gasoline.
That's
is
I would have,
one I've never
I've
considered,
never thought of that.
But
I would,
so smart.
I would assume that I'm picking five that I want to drink and I want to consume. But gas is fucking genius.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was interesting. Like, I agreed with it. Then I proposed this question to Lindsay earlier today, and she was like, "Well, I would probably like leverage this to get an electric car, so I didn't need to have gasoline or anything like that." But I agree, gas is a good one. Someone also within this context was talking about how they have like a small bladder, so they would need to pee a lot, so they would use one of their things to pee somewhere. which I think is not the point.
No,
but
well, it's not getting rid of
stuff.
You're
just wasting a finger.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you have a penis or a vagina.
Right. But they're just saying, like, gosh, like, I don't want to have to, like, but where would you put it at that point?
Right?
You're just going to pee at the table?
The point is not to get rid of stuff from your body. So I don't think that should count.
Right. Another thing that Lindsay said, she was like, she said something, she was like, did you know, she took this, you know how she does these things. She was like, you know that helium, once we use up all the helium in the world, that it's just gone. So like when someone like lets out helium, it just like leaves our atmosphere and goes out into space. So she was like, I would have liquid helium so I could start reproducing helium. But it turns out the only way to make helium continue to reproduce is if it's at like negative 267 degrees Celsius.
So
now,
frostbite.
To stop boring you all, yeah, it's
isn't
don't
helium
take it
a
that
gas?
Direction. Well, in order to get into liquid form, it has to be that cold. So.
Gotcha.
So, again, she's wasting another finger by getting fucking frostbite. So don't ask Lindsay this question.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we have all of the smart things out of the way, whiskey is one of them.
Water, gas, chocolate milk, beer. No. Water, gas, chocolate milk, whiskey, Coke.
Yeah.
That'd be mine.
I'd probably do water, gas, beer. I'd probably do some kind of like juice.
You think so? What about coffee? Coffee would definitely be one.
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, that's right. You can't anymore.
No, I can. I choose not to.
Mm.
I honestly, yeah, I kind of agree with this guy. I would do like a guava, like really, you know, the Hawaiian zone, the canned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, frozen canned ones.
Hawaiian Sun.
Hawaiian.
Just
Hawaiian
one of those
zone.
Like Hawaiian fruit punches back in the day.
You're talking about the brand. It's Hawaiian Sun.
Hawaiian Zone. Then the can, the frozen canned drink, the concentrate, frozen concentrate. Oh.
One of mine would be coffee. Could I use some of your gasoline? Because then I don't have to like take up.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
All right, cool.
$4.89 a gallon. Yeah.
Because like that gas, I guess it also like, do you have to put different gas in like a boat? Because like part of like, you know, having a boat or a private jet or something like that is just like how much it costs.
Well, a jet
to operate.
Definitely has different gas
than
your car. But a boat, no. You can use regular.
Also, I don't think to make it fair, you shouldn't team up and look at this like, okay, let's team up
as a team
group.
Effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this isn't
it only works
possible.
In your automobile.
So let's make it an individual endeavor.
Chocolate milk's a good choice, though.
I don't know what my fifth would be, though. That's hard, I guess.
Fuck. You're just larceny. There sucking on your fingers all
vodka.
Day. Yeah, so it's like if you want like a vodka.
Yeah, I need more cum.
A vodka cranberry, you're just fingering your mouth the whole night just so that you can get
that. Yeah, so like a vodka Hawaiian zone, I just. You're drunk, you accidentally hit the gas.
Yeah, oh shit.
It's got the unleaded again.
Yeah, I got the vodka gasoline. It's a double whammy.
You want me to tell you Jordan's?
No.
Pinot Noir.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Riesling. Cab Sav.
Red wine isn't a bad idea, though.
Yeah.
Pinot Gris and Rosé.
Yeah, gasoline is super smart.
Because then also you could be a good
propane.
Samaritan. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't need propane that much, though. You know what I mean?
I suppose.
I'll pay the
ice cubes. So it's cold water.
Just crushed ice coming out your pinky.
So you Sonic have, ice nuggets.
So you have ice water and then you have like, you know, heated,
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do just ice cold water?
I don't know.
But what if you need instant hot water, though, too? You're trying to speed it along. You know, you have
I'm
like
willing
one
to
of those
wait,
little things.
Wait for it to heat.
Actually, I have to, like, it's not like I drink whiskey every day. So I'm going to get rid of whiskey. I'm going to keep Coke because I like Coke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Coke.
Mexican Coke?
No. McDonald's Coke.
Okay, McDonald's Coke.
McDonald's Coke, like bottled chocolate milk from Whole Foods or New Seasons.
Right.
Gas, water, and high C orange.
You know, what was it about? They were saying that the element that is supposed to like help orange soda be orange soda is like no longer like approved by the
FDA. What?
By the FDA. What?
Exqueeze?
So yeah, I'm not sure exactly how orange soda is going to continue, but there was some...
I don't give a shit about orange soda.
Big element in orange soda.
High C orange is not orange soda. High C orange lava burst is not a Fanta. It doesn't have carbonation.
It's own.
It's a juice. High C is juice.
I think it's safe to imagine that they use somewhat similar ingredients. Things.
Do you see carbonation in high C? Yeah, I didn't think so.
That's not an ingredient.
I'm saying, how could you have the same ingredients as a soda if you're not carbonated?
I think that if you were to take a glass of high C and put it in...
You don't know shit about
right.
high C.
You're right.
You know what I might throw in there as well, because I like to cook a lot, is like either some sort of a broth...
Ooh, olive oil?
Or olive oil or some avocado like, oil. Something
should we
like
all
that.
Just like pretend like we're fingering?
Oh my
some
God.
Avocado
a
oil.
Whole big chicken stock. 36 hours.
Some garlic confit.
Yeah. Or some pho.
There's like,
melted butter.
Say, there will be a person that answers this question by having the pho broth.
Yeah. Pho broth is so
pho
good.
Pho broth? It takes... Unpopular opinion, not good.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Not good.
There's so much star anise in it.
Here.
There's
not
get
good.
Get out of here.
Give me
that is my
give
hangover
me a,
cure.
Give me miso soup all day
or,
over a pho broth.
Or a, like ramen.
You do ramen.
Oh,
but
fuck.
There's a lot. Like my favorite ramen base is miso based.
Yeah.
So it's like I would take ramen.
But
over
I like the what's the pork one called? I forget. Shoyu?
Chashu.
Yeah.
I get the pho just for like the liquid and salt intake. And I feel like ramen and those types of things have so much other stuff.
Yeah, we get it. You love salt.
Yeah, that's true.
The ramen is also very sodium rich.
There's too much stuff.
Peter can't risk less sodium.
There's too much stuff. There's not too much stuff in pho.
He goes to Costco and finds the aisle with the green label Kikkoman, and he's like, fuck you, less sodium. And he just knocks it all over.
Yeah, I've never bought anything that says less sodium. How dare you? How dare you?
How are you not sponsored by Morton?
That's true. Morton's hit us up.
No, not us.
Yeah,
I don't need that
us.
Much.
I don't want to be in
one thing of Morton's lasts me like a year.
Yeah, you know how I'm just like
minimum a year.
A walking contradiction, though, is I hate salt on a rim for a margarita.
Agreed.
I cannot do that. I just like,
I don't
drink
need a lot
that.
Of margs.
Yeah. Just stay out of it.
I'm a sugared rim guy.
Big
ol'. In all facets.
Forms and fashions. All right, cool. You think Josh McDaniels is a sugar rim guy, or is he real salty these days now? He just got fired again.
Oh, that's a good one.
He's a bitch.
Living the American... You know what? Being hired and fired within the Raiders organization, I think that at this point, like, the Raiders are paying like $100 million to coaches who are not coaching their team.
Yeah.
Just within the last like 3 years,
between him and Gruden, it's a lot of money.
How do you think Josh McDaniels feels though when you got fired, and that locker room basically had a party?
They did.
I mean, everyone hated you. No one liked you.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, because we've all lost a job, right? And you know, deep inside, you like feel shame. And like a little bit of like depression, and it's like, God, you know, you're questioning your worth or whatever. But then you hit up your friends and or you talk to your significant other and you get a little drunk and you start telling yourself, you know what? Fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better than this. I don't need them. I bet that's the roller coaster of emotions he's going through.
Probably.
And then but the thing that he's experiencing that we're not. Is they still have to pay me millions of dollars.
So much money. Because what was his, like 6 years or something like that? Like, it's insane.
But it's such a messy break. Like, did you read that the final meeting that had him in the room and Antonio Pierce and the players, and right. Al Davis.
So apparently, like, part of that is true and part of it is not.
Well, the Antonio Pierce speech was.
Right.
What he brought up, like
the Patriots.
The Patriots. And, you know, we were a team with that team.
He was talking about the Giants.
That team could have beaten anyone. And Josh McDaniels was like, don't ever talk about the Patriots again or some shit like that. But it was like his send off was just salty. Like no one wanted him around.
Yeah. I mean, like they aired the grievances and everyone spoke their piece and. No one was in support of Josh McDaniels.
I mean, your star player saying, I'm ready to run through a brick wall
for Antonio Pierce,
the new coach. It was like, yeah, no one respected you.
Yeah, there was the part of the reporting was that Josh McDaniels took issue with Antonio Pierce talking about the Patriots in a certain way. And Josh McDaniels saying, don't ever talk about the Patriots like that or just don't talk about them in general. Max Crosby said on Monday or even on Tuesday that part of the reporting wasn't true. Mm. But either way, I mean, when you get that many people unanimously hating you at that point, like, yeah, like you're never in a good situation there. And there was another part, which I thought was an incredible rumor. Pretty sure it wasn't real. Was that Josh McDaniels dressed up as Mark Davis or Alden, whatever the fuck Davis it is, for Halloween. So he shows up in an outfit dressed as the owner. And so then he gets fired.
That one can't be true.
Let's just pretend it is.
Yeah. That's I want it to be true so badly. Was that like he got fired over lunch and apparently was like handed a fortune cookie that says you're fired, motherfucker.
The truth is what we make it.
Yeah. I'm not in journalism anymore. So like, you know what? I'm not fact checking that. That's what happened.
Yeah. I love that.
I love that so much. But here's an interesting thing too, is that Josh McDaniels is the first head coach in NFL history to be fired before the end of his second season for two different teams. He was fired by the Broncos after week 13 in his second season back in 2010. So he hasn't even made it two full seasons with any team that he's been a head coach for.
At some point, like, and I don't know if he'll get the opportunity again, but you just got to be okay
with being... There's no way he gets another opportunity.
But you just got to be okay with being an OC.
Yeah.
Like, you're obviously a good OC. If you don't have to be in charge...
It's not even being okay. It's, I think as a coach, especially in the NFL, you have to accept what you're good at.
Yeah.
There are some people that are great OCs and DCs, but they're not great head coaches. There's people that become a head coach without going through the levels of becoming an OC or a DC, but they're just great at being a head coach. Josh McDaniels is not head coach material. But clearly he was an incredible quarterbacks coach and OC with the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think that what you're seeing a lot of with the Antonio Pierces, the Deion Sanders to a degree, where you are the leader of men. Antonio Pierce says, I want to touch these players. I want them to touch me. In not that way, but you know what we mean. He wants to have that connection where people will literally run through a brick wall for you and then have the coordinators around you be the ones who
know what the fuck they're doing.
As long as you know how to control a game, or you have someone right next to you helping you control a game and not Connor Stallions in a way to steal signs or anything like that, but just kind of like to help guide you along. I think that's, I mean, we're seeing that trend time after time. Someone said Dan Campbell here, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, he didn't have that, but like, we all saw him on Hard Knocks and what he has been able to do in terms of rallying guys.
Because that's what, that as a professional head coach in whatever sport, you're not X's and O's. You're managing egos. You're managing personalities.
Absolutely. And if you're able to
delegate and put the right people around you, then you have the Josh McDaniels. You have the Eric Bieniemy and Saleh, even when he was a DC. Mm-hmm. You can put great people around you, place them in the right position, and you just manage these players and you motivate them. And you like look at the Raiders this last week. I mean, they came out and like even with Devontae Adams with one catch or two catches, they fucking won. Really they played great. They were excited.
Yeah, and I mean, even that, like, speech afterwards, like, there was an angle that had Antonio Pierce talking with Devontae, like, right off to his side, just, like, eating everything up. And regardless, like, he probably had similar production to the week before, but that attitude was totally different.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I put money on the Raiders to win this past weekend because I was like, there's no way these guys at this point don't win that game.
Yeah.
But you parlayed it with other things, so it didn't really win.
Well, actually, I parlayed it with the Bengals, and it did win. Oh, so, because the Bengals were plus money. Dummy.
Fucking parlay idiots.
So, but yeah, I mean, so Josh McDaniels fired. No shock there. There was some speculation that Brandon Staley might be the next one if they would have lost to the Jets, but that didn't happen despite the fact that how ugly the Jets offense looked. Justin Herbert now improves to 23-6. This is something we talked about a couple weeks ago, if not last week, about like how the defense needs to help Justin Herbert out because he's doing his part. Is that Justin Herbert's 23-6 when the Chargers defense doesn't give up 28 points or more. So obviously it's 30-6 or whatever it was.
You got to dig for good Herbert stuff.
23-6 now, but 28 points. I mean, that's a lot of points, you know. And so
yeah, to expect your defense to just not let them score 28,
like you're 23-6.
That's not a lot to ask.
Yeah, clean shaven Brandon Staley also 2-0 since he has gone back to the baby face.
When you guys bring up your favorite players, you have beyond the extreme of recency bias. Like you remember the game the previous week when they gave up shit. But in the bigger scope, these defenses rank in the top fucking 10 in the NFL. Like you made a point 2 weeks ago.
I think that's an arbitrary statement.
It's not an arbitrary statement. You can fucking look it up.
Then do it.
You made a point. I sent it to you guys. You made a point 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was shitting on Josh Allen. You're like, if we had a better defense. And then I sent you guys a text in our group chat saying
Bills
ranked
in the number. You were picking a single stat. You said that they have the most sacks or something.
Yeah. You think that's a small thing to say about a fucking defense that you're tied for number one in sacks for the season?
But that doesn't mean that they're not scoring points.
The
opposing team isn't scoring points. If you have sacks on team, that doesn't make your defense good all of a sudden.
Sack is a good measure of how good your defense is.
It is. But if you're having a sack one play and they're scoring the next, it doesn't really do you a whole lot of good.
Just embrace who you guys are.
Overall defensive rankings, worst defenses in the NFL, the Chargers are 29th out of 32. So.
Yeah, the Chargers' defense is not good.
Yeah, Bosa's not good. Mac's not good.
I mean, again, they look super good.
You are the king of choosing individual cherry-picking small things.
I'm the king of cherry-picking. When you cherry-pick great stats about Herbert and Allen.
Dude.
Do you want to hear some good stats about Allen? I'll tell you a few stats about
Allen. Yeah, I agree. Allen is not doing well this year.
You're both fucking fraud supporting frauds is what you are.
No.
You are the king of cherry picking.
Yeah, okay.
You are.
If you want to hear about cherry picking some stats, here is Josh Allen. I think that you will like this one. Is that...
Because he's a fraud?
So Josh Allen, this season... has the most interceptions out of any quarterback with 9. Since 2022, Josh Allen has the most interceptions of any quarterback with 23. Since 2021, he has the most interceptions at 38. All the way back to 2018, in which he has 69 interceptions.
Sex.
Because he goes for...
That says interceptions thrown.
This is a pretty confusing way to put
69
it.
69 sacks.
Oh, I thought you said sacks, and I'm like, I was like, no, this is interceptions. Yeah.
Because he's Mr. Home Run Ball.
Right.
Bad decision. Let's go for the home run.
The Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you way more on the Josh Allen takes. But Justin Herbert, you are kind of on an island with...
Well, of course, everyone loves him no matter what he does.
But at some point, you've got to look around and be like, oh, I'm the only one who has this take.
Let's put Justin Herbert...
His defense is bad.
Let's put Justin Herbert on the Cowboys.
He would do much better than Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he sure would.
Think about Dak and Herbert, the way they're playing. Dak makes the same mistake as Herbert. He is getting fucking annihilated by everyone. Justin doesn't have that. Like, he has the luxury.
Because he has a good defense.
Because he's loved and everyone just loves him and makes excuses for him. Dak plays the same way, and he's getting ripped for it. Have like a top 10 defense.
And they have generally a very good offensive line.
I'm talking year after year. Year after year.
And year after year, the Chargers don't have a consistent defense. Year after year, the Chargers don't have a consistent offensive line. Year after year, they have not a consistent weapons with injuries and things of that
nature.
Just
say that Herbert can do no wrong in your guys' eyes.
That's not true. We've been very critical of him on this podcast. We've been critical, not very, but we've been critical of him.
And I'm more than willing to be critical of him. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at Herbert and his individual stats, he is one of the leaders of the last, 5 years he's been in the league? There's no, you can't say that he is the problem. I'm willing to admit that I am a homer. I do love Justin Herbert. I do want him to be successful, and I'm willing to, you know, not consider, not, that's the wrong way to put it. I'm willing to look past certain faults that he may have in some situations.
And blame it elsewhere.
Yes, but I do think...
Because he has an overzealous head coach that may try and force him into those positions.
I think one thing we can all agree on is he has the luxury that some other quarterbacks don't have. He's a very likable person.
He's liked, yes.
He's not an asshole to the media. He's quiet. He kind of just goes in and does his work.
He's a very medium person.
Yeah, he's very regular. There's not much fire when it comes to...
But you could also look at that as a fault.
Yeah, I'm saying it works more in his favor that you can look past the shit that, you know, if they're not winning or whatever, you will put the blame somewhere else before you get to him. And there's going to be people like Dak, who don't have that luxury. There's other people like Lamar Jackson who don't have that luxury. There's going to be people that's blamed. They're going to be blamed first, the same way that they are celebrated when they win.
And I can understand maybe the comparison to Lamar Jackson in this sense, but Dak, the Cowboys are a very solid team across the board. It is hard to... It would be very difficult for somebody who's a Cowboys fan to be like, oh, our defense sucks. Our offensive line sucks. It's not Dak's fault. Like, that's just not the case. Statistically, opinion-wise, you can't look at the Cowboys and be like, oh, Dak is okay. It's not his fault. Like, they have all the key things in place for that team to be good and win Super Bowls.
Yes, Mike.
The Chargers don't.
My point is, and this is not to back up Dak Prescott, because I don't think he's the guy. When you're looking at somebody like Dak, Dak gets the blame right away. When you look at somebody like Justin Herbert, it would be like the reason why I brought up the Cowboys is because if he was on the Cowboys, you would look at Jerry Jones. You would look at Mike McCarthy. He doesn't have that luxury.
Justin does. I disagree.
I think that if he were on the Cowboys, especially being the quarterback of quote unquote America's team, it's kind of like being, you know, in New York and dealing with the New York media. I think there'd be a ton of scrutiny on him.
I agree with Peter. If Justin Herbert was on the Cowboys and was performing the way Dak Prescott does, I would agree with you. Because I think that my willingness to admit about Josh Allen should show you that, like, even if I'm a big fan of these guys, I'm willing to admit when it's realistically the case that they are not playing well.
No, because you already lost Josh Allen, so you got to hold on to one.
I, I, I think that I would be willing to, if Justin Herbert had a top 10 defense and had all these weapons, an offensive line, and all the pieces that a Dak Prescott has, and he was still not able to get over the hump, I would be willing to admit that, hey, he's not performing. But I just truly think that in this case, that's not what's happening.
Yeah, and then again, too, they now have the offensive coordinator of that Dallas Cowboys team, too, which is interesting, you know, to think about what the possibility could have been if he were over there on that team. Would you rather start with Dak, or would you rather start with Justin?
I don't like Dak. This is not an argument.
Sounds like you don't like Justin either.
I don't like either of them.
But okay, so if you're making me choose
between the two, fucking Trent Dilfer.
Well, that's just dumb.
Yeah, he's going to punch a high school kid.
I don't have any faith in Justin Herbert. Look at their fucking record. You can give me all the individual accolades and how most passing yards and touchdowns and all that shit. I don't have any faith in him. I'll take him in the Rose Bowl in Oregon. But not in the pros.
So you're rooting for Oregon now. That's good.
I heard that.
Rose Bowl 2019. I would take that Justin Herbert versus any time
the
in
the game
pros.
They already won.
Yeah. I'll take him.
It's a sure thing.
I'll take him. We're talking about cherry picking stats. I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on this. The 2023 Miami Dolphins are 6-0 against teams with a losing record. They are 0-3 this season against teams with a winning record. And I'm curious if that means anything to either of you, and whether or not it's like you beat the teams you need to beat, but when it comes to actually, like, when push comes to shove, say you're a playoff team, you get to that moment, do you know how to win that game?
Yeah, I think that the Dolphins are a very interesting team right now, because you kind of look at them on paper and it's, you know, they should be winning, they're a playoff team, they can compete for a Super Bowl. But then they play the Chiefs or they play the Bills. And it's like, well, that didn't look so great. They didn't look so strong. And I obviously you have a young, new head coach who's, you know, cute and fun. And obviously we've been big fans of Mike McDaniel. But it's, I don't know. I've kind of tossed my hands up with the Dolphins.
They strike me as a team. They're definitely a home run team, because if your record shows that you're playing these trash losing teams and you are, their play is Tua bombing it to Tyreek.
Yeah, they have to hit 3 to 4 home run plays a game.
They're a home run team, and they also with the exception of the Broncos game where they put up 70, they kind of adjust their play style to the level of who they're playing against. I think the anomaly is the Chiefs game, because that was just, that's jet lag. I mean, fuck the international shit. I know it's great for the people that are watching it in Germany, but that you didn't see a real Travis Kelce or Tyreek in that game.
Right.
Like that game was weird. The fact that the Chiefs didn't score a point in the second half was fucking weird. I feel like the jet lag thing just plays a huge part.
But the Dolphins were there like 3 more days than the Chiefs were.
I think it still affects you. And the Dolphins, we're going to see when we get deeper into like December and January to see when they start playing those good teams, if they can adjust. Because remember, it's the same thing we said about the Chiefs, or at least you said about the Chiefs. It's like they were like Patrick Mahomes was bombing these balls to Tyreek, almost like no look fucking throws, and then they lost them, and then you saw the Chiefs like start losing games. But they have a great coaching staff, arguably the best quarterback in the league. They were able to adjust quick. It was like, we're no longer running these plays, we have to be more disciplined, and we have to run these 5-10 yard outs. And they were able to adjust. I think it's just a matter of whether the Dolphins can do that.
I totally agree. And that's kind of what I was going to get at, is Mike McDaniel is a fun coach to watch, and it's fun when they can rip off those big plays. But this is, we're getting to a point in the season where can he adjust? Can he adjust his game plan to meet the needs of his team and meet the needs of beating his opponent?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it was just a comedy of errors at the end of that game, but to see Tua on a third down play just absolutely just lose track of, like, lose grip of the ball and throw it just into the onto the sidelines, and then that fourth down play in which the center just, like,
yeah,
tosses it off like that. Those are,
yeah, not a
mistakes
good look
that you can't have there. And not again, I look think that's what you talk I about having an interest
to
in
your
team
point. As goofy and as eccentric Mike McDaniel is, I think he's a really good fucking coach.
Yeah,
like, he came from that tree where he was with Kyle Shanahan and, like, all these young Thunder cats, the Sean McVays, the Shanahans,
right?
They were all there. Like, he was there with the Johnny Manziel days. Like, he's been around, and yeah, I think he's a really good coach. He's goofy, he's funny, but he knows what the fuck he's doing. Like, I would want him yeah to be the coach of my team.
And I totally agree with you. But I think that coming into these next couple weeks is going to be a huge sign of his maturity and his ability to, you know, when we're under pressure, when we're kind of, we've lost our hype, can we just, like, get back to, like, you know, hard-nosed football? Can we get back to nickel and diming guys? Can we get back to just running repetitive, successful offense where we don't have to have those four or five home run plays like we were talking
like
about?
Like, don't forget that you have Mostert back there.
Right. Yeah.
That's a guy that
and
scored five touchdowns in one well game.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, they're at the point in the season where they've got where they've gotten punched in the mouth, and now they need yeah to respond.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about fun and funny and eccentric and all that. Someone needs to tell that to the German media. I'm sure that you guys have seen this.
Oh, but they didn't get his sarcasm?
They just didn't weird understand his humor. Here he is talking with the media when he arrives in Germany.
I love that he wears capris.
I love it.
You know what? I know what you guys are thinking. I'm bigger in person. You're right. This is a bigger room.
Just immediately pivots.
Language barrier.
Can I
that
get
always,
a pen?
That always sucks.
Know what you guys are thinking.
That always sucks.
I was like, that sound. That was actually not a terrible joke, but
no,
it had the response like you
that's
guys
not
give
on
me
him
that you guys give
yeah
me when
the
I
the translators weren't working fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not on him.
It's a bigger room. Just like, yeah, let me say something until I can pivot out of this. Tough crowd. Tough crowd. So I want to know what you guys thought, who had a better week, whether it was Josh Dobbs and leading the Vikings to a win after coming in mid-game, having to be on the sidelines teaching your offensive line your cadence, not knowing.
Not even that. They were teaching him.
Yeah.
They were saying, this is what we need from you.
Right. I mean, he's been there for 5 days. They install enough to get him through. So you have that aspect, but then you have what CJ Stroud did as a rookie to set all the records that he did in that game in a comeback win on this past Sunday.
Was that against the Falcons?
The Falcons was the Vikings.
Falcons was the Vikings.
Okay. Yeah. And then was it the Colts?
Yeah.
The Colts and the Texans.
It's got to be Dobbs because Stroud is not he's not flying under the radar anymore. Like, Stroud is good. He's for real. He knows what he's doing. It's no longer a question, no matter what. Dobbs, him, first of all, what a fucking pickup by Minnesota.
Yeah.
Losing Kirk Cousins. I had no idea that the quarterback who played the first half of that game played for Ohio State.
Right.
Jared Hall. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't remember this fucking guy at all.
He played at BYU.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought someone said Ohio State.
He was a BYU guy.
Because I'm like, if I think Ohio State QBs, I don't remember this guy.
Yeah, no, he was definitely
like, I think Cardale Jones and Justin Fields and Braxton Miller. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? But Dobbs, to show up and win that game, and I'm pretty sure the Falcons were like number five in defense in the league.
Yeah.
Five or six. But to see what happened to Arizona without him, that was enough for me. I mean, Arizona is tanked without him.
So,
he was the one.
So was our locks of the week.
So were our locks of the week yeah, because on Tuesday, so we put our bet in on Monday. Had we recorded the podcast on Tuesday as we normally do,
yeah,
I don't think you would have made that
no
bet. So
and it would have been like plus 14.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it ended up being when that game started. But yeah, so very impressive with Josh Dobbs. Shouldn't be terribly surprising considering the guy is like literally a rocket scientist, so him being able to pick something up. But I just wanted to go over some stats about CJ Stroud. So he had the highest single game passer rating by a rookie quarterback in NFL history. His 470 yards were the most passing yards by a rookie in a game in NFL history. Became the youngest player to ever pass for 450 yards in a game. And it became just the sixth player ever to record at least 450 passing yards and five touchdowns with no interceptions in a game.
This is
incredibly impressive.
It's a brutal fucking league, though. Because one bad game, and they're going to shit all over this guy.
CJ Stroud, you mean?
You redraft, though, like... I mean, I guess I don't.
Well, I'm riding with Stroud. I'm just saying it's a brutal business that he's in, because he has one bad game. All of the praise that he's getting right now, I mean, everyone's going to turn on him.
I kind of disagree, just because of the fact that he's on the Texans.
But he's shown that he could be successful. That's what I'm saying. One bad game where he throws three picks, the entire league will fucking turn on him.
I think they're going to give him grace. I honestly
do. Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, like, you're the Panthers, and it sounds like that Frank Reich really wanted to have C.J. Stroud, but what's his bucket, the owner, I forget his last name. Either way, the Panthers owner really wanted...
Yeah, because they went to dinner together.
Bryce Young.
Did you hear about this?
Right.
So they had a dinner together before the draft, and they went to a steakhouse. And Bryce Young ordered scallops. And in his notes, draft notes, the owner said that he was very impressed that Bryce Young ordered scallops
rather than steaks on that night. And so what's even worse is that the 1-7 Panthers don't even have their pick that belongs to the Bears for next
year. But this happens every year when you have a number three, number four, somebody you didn't pick number one that's doing better than the people that were picked higher. And then it's all these shoulda, woulda, couldas. Yeah, we thought about taking him. Yeah. We wanted to.
It's always
going to
be a narrative.
Sure.
Like Reggie Bush, Mario Williams. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
It was like, why would you take Mario Williams? And then he gets hurt and all this shit. It's like, there's always shoulda, woulda, couldas if you didn't take the one that's succeeding right now.
I am curious if you guys think that it is, I don't know if it's like just being insensitive, being dumb, being, I don't know, in solidarity with, but people have been shaving their eyebrows in quote unquote solidarity with Josh Dobbs.
That's stupid.
I know a guy that shaved his eyebrow.
Well, I lost in a podcast episode. I did not do this in support of anyone, but I just go like, Josh Dobbs isn't like he has alopecia. Like yeah, it's not
that
like
that is a very insulting, right? Offensive way of complimenting someone. That is stupid.
Like, oh, he doesn't have eyebrows. I'm not going to have eyebrows either.
Yeah, I think that's just like a social media grab.
It's very
silly.
That's fucking Minnesota people. For likes and views and such, but don't.
But to answer your question, I think that the performance overall by Josh Dobbs to come into a team, to not be expected to play at all,
right,
to not know the offense, to literally coming out of the huddle, going to your receivers and being like, what are you going to do on this play? Like that.
And to win the game.
And to win the game in such a fashion is incredibly impressive. And it's almost a 1A, 1B because CJ Stroud, 40 seconds against, like you said, a very formidable Falcons defense to drive 70 yards to win that game in front of a home crowd, and a home crowd that, like, I was talking to Matt, my friend, who's been on the podcast, Matt Barker, who was at that game, and he was even saying that, like, the first three quarters of that game, all the fans were, like, so laissez-faire, not into it. And I said, I was like, it's because they're used to winning. Like, nobody's coming to those games to actually watch the team. Or used to losing. Did I say winning?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
But yeah,
They're used to losing.
They're not there for...
Yeah, it's a social event. Yeah. They're there because the tickets are cheap. They can bring their kids. They can have a good time, grab a beer, whatever. And to be able to take that team down and show that, like, hey, I'm the guy. I can make this happen. and I'm here to win. Like, I think that brings a new energy to that city, to that team. But Josh Dobbs, you can't deny the level of impressiveness, if that's even a word.
Yeah, how impressive it was. For
like,
sure.
That is incredible.
And you don't even have to be a Vikings fan to be not only impressed with that pickup, but to be excited for them. Because you know that Jefferson's coming back. Justin Jefferson is coming back.
We don't know that. Though
he's out for 4 weeks, like he's coming back in a couple weeks.
The 4 weeks is now.
Justin Jefferson, like 4 to 6.
Yeah, I mean,
like he's not out for the season. Like he's coming back.
But I have him on fantasy, so I've been keeping really close track to this. It's still not for sure that he's coming back.
If there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers is coming back, Justin Jefferson will play again this season. That's my whole point.
Yeah, if they keep winning,
and
yes, I agree.
If he has a quarterback like Josh Dobbs. And with the recent emergence of Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson, all these guys, they're not out of the picture, which is great for him to know that he's coming back to a team that has a chance.
Yeah, I think it gives a much higher chance that he will come back, yeah, for sure.
For your fantasy team, hopefully he does come back soon. For another fantasy team, this was something that very much caught some traction on the Reddit threads. And the headline reads, "Guy in my league is offering Tony Pollard for Christian McCaffrey. And I get to bang his wife one time." That's the headline. "Guy in my league is 3-5 and desperate to turn his team around, needs more consistency at running back. He sent me a text saying he
wants is a real fantasy league.
Christian McCaffrey.
Jesus Christ, Miguel.
But there's not really anyone on his team that I want. I am currently 7-1, so I don't need to make any changes. He said I could bang his wife one time if I accept the trade and it goes through. Honestly, it's pretty tempting since she has huge tits and I've always fantasized about her. Is it worth throwing my chances to win the ship without out the window for a chance to bang this guy's wife?"
This is a serious league.
And
these people care.
To follow it up, the trade did go through, and or at least it was accepted, and I'm not sure if it actually like was approved by the league. But they,
or is there consent from the fucking wife?
Yeah, I think that's question number one. I think we have to assume that the wife is down.
Right.
We have to assume.
We have
to. We don't know.
Right. Like how?
But for the sake of this conversation, we have to assume that the wife has given consent.
Right. Because we don't report false things.
Ever.
Like fake AI Iowa offensive coordinators or anything like that.
Nothing.
We don't do that. But say it were true, would you make the deal?
No, this is not something we're taking into our league. Like this shit's not.
This
happening
is not. This
here.
Will not show up in taking back.
I don't know if you're. No. I don't know which direction you're heading here. Like you're offering up Lindsay or something like that. It's not.
Yeah, listen, I need a victory, guys.
Jesus Christ.
Do you still have the tab up for the ranking in the defense?
Maybe. I don't think so.
Pull it up.
NFL defensive ranking 2023. What do you want?
Where's the Texans?
19.
Is that good or bad?
It's lower half.
It's weird. CJ Stroud's performing with a 19th ranked defense.
What's their record?
What's their record?
Oh, God.
Do they have a better or worse record than the Chargers?
Texans' record. They are identical at 4-4.
I don't know what point you're trying to make. With a better defense.
Yeah, I don't know what point you're trying to make.
With a better defense.
He's trying to go,
I don't think it proves your point.
There's no point I'm trying to prove because there's no changing your
guys'
mind.
It sounded like
you
were trying to prove a point.
Against two homers? That's not...
Yeah.
What point can you...
But you have to admit that you're the opposite homer.
I don't have to admit anything.
What,
I'm a contrarian?
Claim nothing.
But you are a homer just as much on the opposite end of our opinion as we are
I'm just going to do it and argue for the sake of arguing.
Yes.
That I. So you're saying I don't really believe that Herbert is who I think he is.
But that would mean that we don't believe. Of course we believe. You believe in your opinion. I believe in our own opinion. The thing is that you are so dedicated to your opinion that
yeah. Ever heard passion?
Yeah, and we have the same passion. So the same arguments that you're making against us, we can make against you.
Okay.
I think that you know what we can all agree on, and something that someone has no passion in, are the USC Trojans in defense, and them firing Alex Grinch.
Did you watch that game?
It was.
Or at least see the highlights of that game?
Yeah. I mean, we had it on in the background when we were
but
here.
But we weren't really paying attention.
It's so insane. 60 points were scored by halftime.
When I got home, I watched Pac-12 After Dark.
Yeah.
And just watched the entire game, the way they cut it.
Pac-12 and 60?
Yeah, that one, not After Dark. Before he was announced as fired, you could see it coming if you watched that game. The camera panned over to him minimum 30 times. I mean, it was going to Alex Grinch after every fucking play. It was like, they're telling us something. That if they don't pull this off, this guy's fucking gone. The camera just kept going to him and watching him sweat.
Over and over and over.
It was fucking weird. I'm pretty sure we saw Lincoln Riley twice. Alex Grinch was on camera over and over like, hey, this guy's about to be out, just take a good look at his fucking face, because they kept painting over like it was weird.
This guy. I mean, like, did you guys see this? I was trying to find the clip as you were talking. Is like when he's trying to break the huddle, he's like ripping them a new one. And he breaks the huddle, and everyone's just like walking away from him. He had no one's ear at that point. He was Josh McDaniels, where it was like you had to make the change there.
Well, it's not like they have the playoffs to play for, but do you think that defense improves all of a sudden?
No.
That's the thing. It's like you wonder if they're going to all of a sudden play some sort of like inspired football or something like that. But I mean, like, their problems aren't going to change. It's just like...
And their defense is not... I mean, Miguel and I have kind of, you know, argued about this the entire season. Their defense has not been good since week one. And I don't think necessarily that coaching will all of a sudden make them better, because you got to think that week one they were bought in. The first at least 6 weeks of the season they were bought in to this defensive coordinator, and they still weren't good. They were allowing 40 plus points every week.
So this Saturday we have a bet that we made 2 months ago.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's you, Ducks, and me, USC, for $50, spread either way. So
we've got, what is it at? 16.5, I think is what I saw.
It's
with an over-under.
It's 15.5 Oregon at home. That means I have USC plus 15.5.
You
yes?
do, yeah. With an over-under of, I think, 73.
So that's probably going to change. Should I put that in the notes that it's at 15.5?
Sure.
15.5 it is. So, yeehaw. I mean, at this point, there's a lot of people banging on the, Oregon to the college football playoff. They might be one of the best four teams, which hopefully they don't let get into their head. But there are a lot of people who are.
I wonder if they're
starting to take notice.
I know we don't like to think that they'll screw the Pac-12 being one of the tougher conferences this year, but there's a lot of things that is going to happen in the next 3 weeks. This Saturday, with everything that's going on with Michigan, undefeated Michigan, who currently sits at, what, 3? They're playing Penn State, who has one loss at Penn State. Florida State, still undefeated, representing the ACC, also has a big game. Ohio State sits at number 1. Georgia is at number 2.
Yep, Michigan Georgia, 3.
Georgia plays Ole Miss, who's 8-1 this Saturday.
There's a lot of consequential games.
There's a lot of games this Saturday that's going to move the needle in complete opposite extreme way.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we were talking about this past weekend being a trap game, right? The possibility. Oregon, in at least in the first quarter and definitely, like, first half, they were making a lot of mistakes. It was ugly football for that first half. But then they end up winning 63 to whatever, yeah. Right?
But, so, see, when Oregon starts the way they do, like against Washington State or against Cal, if you're so dominant over a team, you can go being 14-13 in the first quarter, and then you check again, and it's 35-13 Oregon.
Right, that's exactly what happened.
You have that edge over that team.
Yeah.
But that's not something you could necessarily do with a USC, even with a bad defense, but an offense that could put up 50. Because they'll just go toe-to-toe, like even the way they did with Washington.
Right.
Washington plays Utah on Saturday.
They do have that this week. Yeah, 12:30.
That's huge.
Huge game.
And also kind of like a measuring stick, I think. Because Utah is a fairly consistent team, and Oregon obviously handled them pretty well.
Yeah, second chance to try and derail a college football playoff bid for someone interconference.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I think that this USC is an important USC game is a very important game. But I that defense, and maybe they're going to get revved up because they have a new coordinator or whatever, but I think that 16 is going to be just fine to cover.
I am curious a little bit, you know, because like I don't think that the defense is all of a sudden going to become inspired. I like that this game is in Eugene for the Ducks, because now at this point, USC becomes spoiler, right? They are a spoiler team.
Yeah.
They're out of the top 25.
Yeah, I think the energy doesn't come from a new DC.
Right.
I think the energy comes from how could we fuck them up?
Exactly.
It's like we have no chance here. We have no chance in being
Our
in the playoffs.
Season's over. Yeah.
And they still showed that your defense, as much as it's fucking terrible, they went toe to toe against UW 52-42.
Yeah.
They can easily, like, Caleb Williams could put up 40 easy with his fucking eyes closed.
I would take the over on this game.
Yeah, like,
over 73.
If I had to predict, I think Oregon puts up fucking 63 points and USC puts up 50.
It's one of those ones that we saw down in LA, and I think it was when Oregon just ran all over USC in their all-white stormtrooper uniforms, where they just, I think they scored like 50, 60 points. I think it's definitely another track meet type of a thing. Bo Nix versus, you know, Caleb Williams, then you have just all of these implications. I think that, like, defense be damned in this game.
I kind of feel that Oregon embarrasses Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams has been embarrassed already this season.
No, in the sense that they're not going to put up 40 points. He's going to get sacked. He's going to get picked. I think that Oregon handles this pretty well.
I mean, certainly you would like to have that certainty going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, there's always those, like, you feel it at Autzen when just the energy is really off. We felt that on those Stanford games, right, where you're just kind of like, damn, like, we don't have this, and I don't, like, it's not going to go our way. You can feel those games.
But how
heartbreaking would it be?
It would be
USC
terrible.
Place fucking spoiler. Yeah.
It would be terrible. There's no denying that. And I know that's what you want to hear. Yes, it would suck. Yes, I would be very sad.
I'd skip a birthday next year for that to happen.
Well, let's sign that on the dotted line.
A chance for good old Mario Cristobal to help the Ducks out this weekend as well. University of Miami against Florida State.
Dude, Miami doesn't stand a chance.
I know they don't stand a chance. I mean, at this point, you're looking at a 14
But it's college
and a half,
football. Who knows?
14.5 point favorite for if you're, Florida State.
If you're looking for somebody to give Oregon the edge, I think you're cheering for Utah. I don't think you're cheering for Miami.
Yeah,
because
they will kick Florida
State out so quick as soon as they fuck up. Like, I mean, they're just watching them.
Yeah,
fuck up, you're out. We don't need the ACC. Like, we just couldn't ignore how good Clemson was the last 4 or 5 years. But Florida State, if we're choosing between Florida State, Washington, and Oregon, Florida State, you're out.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So you're a big Utah fan this week if you are an Oregon fan.
For sure. I agree.
Another top 25 matchup with some intrigue, Tennessee-Missouri. 13-14 matchup. You get that midday on Saturday. And then, yeah, we have that Ole Miss-Georgia game.
I hope Georgia loses.
You know what's going to be funny is if Alabama keeps winning, they're going to find a way to move them
up. God, I hope not.
They're going to find a way to move them up.
I hope not.
Right now, you're looking at it. There were some polls or, you know, people projecting, like, if it were to start today, this is what the New Year's Day games would be. And it was Oregon-Alabama, which would have been kind of a... I forget which bowl game it was, but it was a New Year's Six game.
I mean, if the Ducks don't make it into the playoffs, I would love to play Alabama.
Yeah, finally.
You're not. I don't know why you're saying you want Georgia to lose. That does nothing for you. That does nothing for anyone. Georgia loses.
You think they stay top four?
Yeah. Georgia has gone undefeated longer in the top four than everyone else without Brock Bowers. They are not moving anywhere if they lose a game.
I think that they would drop to five.
Losing one game this Saturday?
Yeah.
No chance. They're highly ranked above all the other playoff teams. Why are they two? Because Ohio State has had blowout games.
But that's my point.
But I'm saying they're not moving out of the four losing one game.
I think they do. I think they do.
Right. It's all about, like, where we're all at here, because then you have your conference championships. You still have Michigan, Ohio State on the horizon with that as a possibility. But, like, if that's a close game, you keep both of those guys in still.
I think the easiest team to get kicked out of the top four.
Florida State.
No, it's Michigan. Because Michigan loses to Penn State, and all of the people are pushing to ban them from the playoffs right now.
Yeah,
because of shit that's happening.
That's true.
They are looking for a way for, like, Michigan loses, they have every reason to take him out of there.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
That was something that I was going to ask, because obviously we've all seen the reports and everything about Michigan and sign stealing, Connor Stallions, you know, being resigning or fired or whatever it was. And whether or not, one, we care, and number two, what should be done about it? Because the whole sign stealing thing, what it continues to reveal is just the need to get rid of those boards and just put headsets in these guys' helmets.
Seriously, why haven't you done that?
It's just insane that they haven't done that at this point.
If someone's stealing your shit, it's your own fucking fault.
Right.
Okay, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, like, and to think, too, there's, like, another report, Ohio State and someone else gave Purdue the Michigan signs for last year during the Big Ten championship, like, all this stuff, and it's like, come on, guys.
And the fucked up part is any of these coaches that are, quote-unquote, involved in this, if they get, you know, NCAA sanctions, they're just going to go to the NFL.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh, he'll just go coach the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, like, there have been penalties. We've seen what happened with, like, Terrell Pryor with all of the, you know, accepting of gifts and everything when NIL wasn't a deal. And the NFL unilaterally put a 5 or 6 game suspension there. But yeah, like, in the overarching, you know, thing with that, like, one, yes, does it, is it against the rules? Yes. Does everyone do
it? Is it against the rules, or is it frowned upon?
Technically, I'm
it's like masturbating in an airplane.
It's against the rules.
It's against the rules.
It's like masturbating on an airplane.
He slid that in there so well. I missed that.
I'm saying, if we can, I know this is like stripping it completely bare, but if you know the play that's coming, let's say that you know every play that's coming, right? It's still fucking football.
Yeah.
You still need to fucking stop it.
And it's like Coach Prime said.
You still need to stop
it. You still need to stop it.
If you know they're running through the fucking A-gap, you still need to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, to think that we have all of these technological advancements in the game and you're still holding up a sign of, you know, a pretzel, Reese Davis's head, you know,
it's just
a
it's,
Wendy's sign, you know, random shit like that.
Clownish.
Well, and I saw
it's stupid.
I saw even this week they have guys and they look like Power Rangers
yeah.
and all their different colors, all doing different signs.
They were trading off who they were supposed to yeah. be paying attention to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just get rid of that aspect. Get into the 21st century for crying out loud. Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't
done that. Take this aspect away. And maybe that's just the solution that finally is like, well, maybe doesn't face that. Jim Harbaugh doesn't face that steep of a penalty because this is just for the benefit of the overall game.
Yeah.
I don't think that you ban them at this point because it's all
that
conjecture.
That would be insane.
You know, like, but yeah, I mean, when it comes to penalizing people and all that, like the coaches will never be affected, right? Yeah. I mean, they're Teflon. They will just
go to the next
slide
place.
Right off.
The shitty thing for them is even though you probably won't get banned, at least this season, it's already out there. It's giving people a reason to go against you.
Yeah.
Which is shitty. Like if it's shitty if you're a player there, a coach, it's shitty if you're a Michigan fan. Because it's like starting a rumor about you. It's already out. It's in people's minds. And
yeah, whether
you can't
it's true or not.
Take that away. And that gives them a reason. Like I said, if they lose to Penn State, who is a one loss team, it gives people a reason to go, there's not going to be any blowback if we take them out
yeah.
and we make room for the ACC and we make room for the Pac-12. Who are they to fight back?
Yeah.
They have all this shit going on.
Yeah, and I think that like the evidence against Connor Stallions and Michigan at this point
pretty damning.
Is damn absolutely damning.
Who is this Connor? Is this Megan's brother?
yeah.
This is
yeah,
the guy is at the center of the sign stealing. You know, he shows up in like Central Michigan or Eastern Michigan gear and he's, you know, scouting other teams and then he's got
the Ray-Bans with the camera.
With the camera that is activated. All of that.
I think people are just jealous they have that guy on the fucking payroll doing genius
yeah.
work for them.
Yeah.
But then again, it kind of just comes back down to what is going to be done about it
yeah.
and how these guys have gotten away with. Because again, guys got away with paying players before this, right? Like if it's you're always trying to get over on somebody. This is what the world is. If you are not getting over on somebody, the world is getting over on you.
Yeah.
And you just played the game.
Yeah.
And Michigan, I don't think for as much as I kind of can't stand Jim Harbaugh, like I don't feel like this is a point in which you penalize
them. What the fuck did he do to you?
Just don't like them. Don't like them. But yeah, a lot of good games coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I'm excited.
This weekend.
It's nice that there's a great college football slate because the NFL doesn't look that great
no.
this week.
The Chiefs.
Bye.
Eagles.
Bye.
There's another one.
Our parlay for our lock of the week. Bye bye.
I'm going to piss my pants.
Regardless of, let's get into our locks of the week.
I'm going to go Falcons money line against Arizona on the road.
Falcons money line at -115. The Falcons. Interesting from not necessarily a betting perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, was Arthur Smith talking about how he continues to want to use Bijan Robinson essentially as a decoy.
What is happening?
I have no idea.
Why is he moving
so
away from
frustrating.
Him?
Like, I mean, I think it's Mitch who has him in fantasy, but it's just like
the
incredible. That
the interesting thing is he is getting absolutely rocked for what he's doing to Robinson mm-hmm. and not using him. And then the news article that comes out is his dad owns FedEx. Just to like take away from that news.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, Arthur Smith's dad is the founder of FedEx.
Mr. FedEx, yeah.
Who's worth $6 billion.
There's such interesting games this week because you have like...
I take back what I said. This is not a shitty NFL slate. Because the Browns play the Ravens. The Texans play the Bengals.
I mean, and then you have some like random ones like the Jets and Raiders, the Titans and Bucks.
Niners, Jags will be good.
The Vikings and the Saints, which all of these are like +1, +1.5, +2.5.
So Lions, Chargers.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, this is going to be mine. And this is because this team is playing lights out and they're playing at home. I'm going to take the Bengals -6.5 at home over the Houston Texans. I understand that CJ Stroud just had what he had, but I would take them at this point at -6.5.
Well,
this offense, regardless of their record, I mean, they are looking great, despite the fact that Ja'Marr Chase got no action on this pass.
We're not really going to question any of your picks or mine. It's just we're nervous about Braxton's picks.
Yeah, so I'm the only one who's gotten anything wrong.
Yeah, +8 for the good old Cardinals. But again, Josh Dobbs traded on Tuesday after we make those picks Monday night. And lose 27. Why are the Cardinals +8 against the Browns? Well,
here, I'll tell you guys the two I'm thinking of.
Okay. Well, right now, so we have the Falcons -115 money line over the Cardinals, and then the Bengals -6.5 over the Houston Texans -115. This two pick parlay so far +249.
I'm between the Lions over the Chargers. Straight up, money line at -135.
Okay.
Or the Vikings +2.5 over the Saints. You tell me.
I'm afraid to have any input on this. I don't.
No, I want you to. Since I'm so dumb, I have to get your guys' approval.
Right. You know what I would be more interested in out of that is going Lions Chargers over 48.5. Don't pick a money line. Just pick an over.
All right. Fuck it. Miguel, you in?
Yeah, you choose. I like the idea of the over, but I would, for your original question, I would lean towards the Vikings.
Let's go over 48.5.
Woo! Gambling. Over 48.5. Okay, Falcons money line.
It's going to be 26-21.
Bengals -6.5. Over 48.5. I think our first bet that we have with an over-under. That pick, these three picks, +567. $30 becomes $218.
$18. $200.18.
$200.18. Thank you very much. And we'll still be in the hole. Tail us if you will. Tail us, you should.
I'm already nervous.
Well, the fact that we place these bets
on a Monday.
These are butts. These are butts.
Yeah. It's very ambitious. Usually I'm waking up and placing my bets because I know all of the things. So that's what we'll blame it on.
If we lose this week, let's wait to place this bet closer to the weekend. And then we'll just put it on them. Twitter.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need to post it during recording. Just say, we'll post it on Saturday. If we lose, because this will be a 9.
Yeah, we could post it when we post the pod on Thursday.
Yeah. Because this will be like a 9-week losing streak if we lose this. We need to change
shit. And we can't go double digits.
No, I refuse.
Yeah, we very much, like, yeah, we bet early in the week and a lot of stuff, as we come to find out with the trade deadline, happen that change things up. And that's why. That's the problem.
Imagine if Josh Dobbs was on that Cardinals team.
Exactly.
They would have covered that.
Everyone
plus
knew his cadence. Everyone knew what he was doing.
They would have covered that. Plus
imagine
eight.
Dragging my balls in your fucking face.
All right. Clear eyes.
Ball heart.
Get loose.